Is it possible to identify true followers of Jesus by their fruit? Welcome to The Good Word. We are beginning a new series on the fruit of the Spirit. My conversation partners are fellow teachers at the Walla University of School of Theology, Paul Dibdahl and Aline Bauer. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
Let's pick up that first question now. Can you tell the good guys by their fruit?
It seems to me that if we looked at anybody's life taking a really thin slice, we might not always be able to identify Christians, because in our worst moments, I know that there are times during my day, times during my week, where if someone were to look at me for just a few moments, it might be difficult for them to see the fruit of the Spirit in my life. But I would hope, and I guess I would believe, that over the course of a lifetime, that there would be, you would be able to identify a Christian by their fruit.
Aline, do you agree with that?
Yes, and I think I like what Paul says, because doesn't Ellen White say somewhere too that it's the tenor of the life? It's the, because we do make mistakes. And I remember one time I was in a grocery line and something happened and I felt very short with the person who was helping me. And later I saw a student of mine, and it hit me that if that was there, here I was standing up preaching, talking in class about things, and then if they saw that, and so I hope that one slice that you mentioned isn't what my whole life is based on. But I think that Paul is indicating in this letter to the Galatians that you should be able to see a difference.
Mm-hmm. And our passage does focus on that, Galatians 5, fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, mm-hmm. peace, patience, kindness. It's a wonderful collection worth certainly aiming at. Mm-hmm. And we'll have a chance to talk about that through the next few lessons as we work on this. Now, let's take another question. And this is a very practical one. You see that list, love, joy, peace, patience. You'd like to have those. How do you get them? Mm-hmm. How do I get more fruit, better fruit?
Okay. I know you're the one that's supposed to be asking questions, and generally that will be the case, Alden, but when we say fruit and getting fruit, it might be helpful for me just to clarify what exactly we mean by fruit, producing fruit. What is that?
Well, let's put that question to Paul if we can. Now, he's not likely to be here to talk back, but he says the fruit of the Spirit is. Mm-hmm. Now, he contrasts that with the works of the flesh.
Uh-huh.
And it's very interesting that works is plural. But when it comes to fruit of the Spirit, it's singular. And then under this fruit of the Spirit, he has all of these different traits. Now, we're going to talk a bit more about Jesus' agricultural models, the vine, the tree, and so on. Because if you press those metaphors very far, trees don't really have to try hard to produce fruit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's what you were getting at.
Well, that was one thing that I noted as I reflected on this question, that a tree doesn't produce fruit by effort, it seems like to me, by gritting its teeth and, you know, really working hard to produce.
Go out in the morning.
Go
out in the morning and hear your yard and just grumbling. And
fruit bearing, it seems to me, is unconscious in a certain mm-hmm. sense. It's, I don't know if intrinsic would be the right word.
But there is also the aspect of, even the parable, and we may get to it later, about adding fertilizer to make sure that fruit is produced, and also pruning, which are hopefully will bring forth most fruit. But I think also in response to what is this fruit, verse 22 begins, by contrast. He's just listed what it looks like if you don't have fruit. And so fruit then is a contrast to what life in the Spirit versus life in the flesh is like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So love, what the things that are listed here, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the fruit, singular,
of the Spirit.
Of the Spirit. Yeah.
And earlier in that same passage, and it's a wonderfully rich passage, he talks about being led by the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are led by the Spirit, then the fruit of the Spirit is what you see there.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't solve all the problems, because there are some things in life, for example, it's worth getting angry about.
Mm-hmm.
But anger shows up in the works of the flesh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Most of us don't need encouragement to be angry.
Yeah.
Now, there are occasions when that might be necessary. In fact, there would be something I think would be wrong with us if we saw certain circumstances or situations and there weren't a hot flash of anger when innocent people were being hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is the dominant. If I were asking about people that I'd like to have for a neighbor or a good friend, fruit of the Spirit, I would like to say, you know, that's the kind of person that I would really like to be around. Ones that's really helpful.
Did we answer your question about how do we produce good fruit?
Well, it's a very practical one, and I would like to hear your perspective on it, because I think all of us, after dark, struggle with that question.
Mm-hmm.
We look back on what happened during the day and say, that fruit was a bit rotten at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'll mention just a couple of things, and I don't think it's a complete answer by any means, but I think the people that we choose to associate with have an impact. If I'm around that good neighbor that, you know, you mentioned that is expressing these things, I think seeing this modeled, there's both an attraction and an encouragement. I want to be more like that, and it encourages me somehow to be more like that. There's a phrase here right near the end in Galatians chapter 5, where right after Paul has listed these, I keep wanting to say plural, Alden, the fruits of the Spirit, but I'm trying to catch myself. It says, those who belong to Christ.
Mm.
Maybe that's key for us if we want to produce fruit. And then verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still not a real concrete sort of answer, but it seems to me that if we belong to Christ, if we keep in step somehow with the Spirit, I like that idea of kind of journeying together with the Spirit, that this is what the result will be.
It's almost bracketed that thought earlier in the chapter where Paul says, where is it, in verse 5 here, for through the Spirit, by faith, we eagerly await the hope for righteousness. So there he has held out this promise, and I like what you've said about belonging to Christ, which would even go back to Christ's words in John, abide, stay, stick with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a choice. I mean, that's a decision.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think what you suggested there, Paul, works its way out in a variety of ways. One of my racquetball partners who has a bit of a problem with a short fuse on the court told me one time, he says, I need to play with good Christian men. You know, he loses his cool and goes home and doesn't feel good about it. But just the company of good Christian men does make a difference. And in my teaching, sometimes I like to use a bit of imagination. And I say, Jesus, that chair right there, that's for you.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can remember that Jesus is sitting in my classroom listening to me, that has a very positive effect on my behavior. And I think of the pastor once who said he likes to do that when he's driving. He'll just pull over, go out to the other side, open the door and say, Jesus, hop in. I want to have a conversation with you.
Mm-hmm.
See, and so using our imaginations like that to remind us that God really is there in our presence, I think will be helpful as well.
And it's technically, I would say, it's not even your imagination, because what you're trying to visualize what is really the case, not imagine something which isn't.
That's right. Yeah. It is so terribly real, one might say, that you can't possibly imagine it. See, that's part of it as well. Well, let's go on to another more painful topic, the need for pruning and extra care.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are two parables there. There's Luke 13, 6 to 9, which says, let's give it one more year. Hasn't produced any fruit, but give it another year, dig around it and fertilize it. Now, that's not as painful, but when Jesus talks about the parable of the vine, he actually talks about pruning. Does that mean as we look at our lives and how we fall short of the good fruit, that we are aware that pruning will be necessary? And if pruning is necessary, what form is that likely to take?
I think as I look at my own life, I'm not sure that it seems like the pruning process or the times in my life that have felt the most painful, I'm not sure I've felt that this is God pruning me. But as I look back, I have found that those have been times when I have drawn closer to God because I have sensed a greater need of Him. And so I wonder if that might be a part of it, that this pruning, the hurts in life or the trials in life tend to create maybe a deeper abiding.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than as a, quote, I don't want to use the punishment, but that's sort of how you indicated, you know, oh, I've got to prune this off of this plant of mine.
I can't imagine anyone who would cheerfully want to go for the pruning process.
Mm-mm.
It's
mm-hmm.
kind of like going to the dentist. You know, yeah, I can if I have to, but would rather not. Mm-hmm. But I've been amazed at how many people who have talked to me and said that the really important things in life they have learned through the difficult
That's
times.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. We wouldn't choose them, but I don't think once we're through them, we would choose to unlearn what we learned through that process.
Yeah. I think of a quote from Ellen White where she says, "The moment of greatest discouragement is the time when divine help is nearest."
Mm.
And she goes on to say, "They will look back with the darkest part of their way with thankfulness, sensing that God's presence was there." So. Now, one more topic we need to touch on here, and that is what happens about removing the unproductive tree. When does that happen? Is it obvious when it's time to pull out the tree? Who makes that decision? Those are the kinds of things, and this again is based on Matthew chapter 7, and John chapter 15. Those are the two chapters that we deal with. There is the possibility that if the tree is not productive, then you cut it down. Is that something that happens in this life or only in the last day?
Oh, boy. I think of other parables of judgment where the harvesters are angels and the final, you know, the final division doesn't take place until the end.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think it can happen before the final end, but I'm not exactly sure then. You know, what does it mean to uproot the tree or to tear it out?
Well, if it happens before the end, is it, you sense a sense of judgment, the second coming, if it happens at the end. But if it doesn't happen at the end, then who is uprooting it? Is it other people who decide? And that causes me some concern.
Well, there is this very strange chapter, which we will touch later, where Paul says, deliver this person over to Satan. So his soul is saved. So there is that possibility. We will have an opportunity to talk about more of these things as we go on. I want to thank my conversation partners, Lee and Paul, for their contributions today. And my thanks also to Michael White, our program engineer, and to all of you for listening in. For the good word, I'm Alden Thompson. Some of you may want to have the opportunity to listen to the good word again. You can do that on the Positive Life Radio website. Go to plr.org. Under programs, you'll find Good Word. If you want to order a CD, there's also information there as to how you might get your own copy of this if you really are excited about hearing it again and again and again.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.